partner, I'm not going to share with everyone, but share with a partner what your goal or resolution for 2026 is, and most importantly, why. And if you're like, I didn't make a New Year's resolution, that's fine. What is a goal you have in general? But the most important thing I want you to share, make sure you share the goal and the why. So go ahead and turn to a neighbor and share your goal, a resolution, and the why. And we're going to share out loud just your why. So I'd like you to share your why without sharing your goal. Why? Just the why. Why does this matter to you, Jenna?
I would like to be alive.
You would like to be alive. Okay, awesome. What else? What other whys do we have?
Along the same line as hers, being alive, but also being, like, alive in life.
Like thriving?
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Enjoying life and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
My why was my kids.
Your kids?
Like, be there. Mm. Be active with them.
Yeah?
I hadn't thought about it, but just exactly what you guys said, and be able to participate in life, you know, is I mean, I didn't even think of a why, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, when they tell you about goal setting and things, the why is usually the most important part, because if it doesn't really matter to you, you're never going to do it, right? And you got to keep the why in the forefront. And a lot of times, our goals, our whys, are surrounded about changing ourselves, usually for the better, right? Like, most people do not make goals like, I'm going to sit on the couch every day for 3 hours, right? Like, that is my goal.
I wish I could. That would be a dream.
I did set a goal to watch a lot of movies once, which was literally doing that.
Yes, but your goal was to watch movies, not to sit on the couch. All right, never
mind.
I was trying to give you some help. Anyway, so we make goals to better ourselves, right? And, like, thank God, though, that he doesn't need to better himself, right? He doesn't make a New Year's goal in any time to be like, you know what? I hope I'm more forgiving this year, right? I hope I'm better this year. Like, God is good, right? And that's why I wanted to talk about how it's called the immutability of God, the unchanging nature. That's what we're really going to focus on, because God is enough already, right? And he is good and he is holy. And we're going to look at a story in the book of Numbers. So before we get into the story, let's just talk about the book of Numbers really fast, a big overview. So what you need to know about Numbers is it's the fourth book in the Torah or the Pentateuch and the fourth book in the Bible. Okay, that's Numbers is right in the beginning. It goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers.
And then Deuteronomy,
yep. And so just kind of a brief, really, really brief summary of each of those books. Like, you have creation and Abraham and the story of Jacob. So we did that in November last year. And then we have like Moses and Mount Sinai and the giving of the law. And Leviticus always gets a bad rap because it's a bunch of laws. But Leviticus is essentially how an unholy people can live with a holy God. Because God says, I want to live with you. But you are sinful, and so we have to make sure that you are set apart so there's a place for me, right? That's what Leviticus is all about. And then we have kind of Numbers is Israel's wanderings. It gets the name Numbers because it does two censuses, one in the beginning and one towards the end before the 40 years, and after the 40 years. But the Hebrew title, which I like a lot better, is In the Wilderness, right? Because it's really the story, Numbers is the story of what they're up to while they're in the wilderness, right? And it's also the book, I feel like, whenever anybody makes a resolution this year, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. When you get to Numbers, it's kind of like that point when you're like, do I really need to read the whole thing? Because you start getting into the, and there were 300,000 of these people, and this person gave birth to this person. Yes, and there's a lot of that, and a lot of Numbers. And you're just like, maybe I don't need to read the whole thing.
I love a good old family bush.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can do some great genealogy with Numbers. So, and then, big thing I want to remember as we talk today is, so we have all of this history. We have a lot of history happening. We have, you know, Israelites have been brought out of Exodus. They have, brought out of Egypt through the Exodus of Egypt. And before that, God blessed Abraham and his descendants, right? He says, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And this is important because we're going to see how that doesn't change in the middle of this wilderness period, even though the Israelites have, at this point, made the golden calf, sinned against God, chosen other gods, saw God's power, and then also were like, oh my gosh, you brought us out here to die, like, didn't get who God was. But this promise has never changed. So that's kind of a very, very brief overview of the book of Numbers in the first four. Very, very brief, I know. Today we're going to focus on the story of Balak and Balaam, which is not the most well-known unless you've ever heard of the fact of the speaking donkey in Scripture, right? That's usually when people hear the story of Balaam. But if they know it, it's not a wildly preached on. They know it's the time that God made a donkey speak, right? And so we're going to talk about them. Yeah. Balak is the king of the Moabites, and Balaam is a prophet. Okay? Things to know. And Balaam charged divination fees. Okay?
So basically a medium.
Yeah, he's a medium, and he wasn't doing it for free, right? This is important. This wasn't someone like, oh, I'm seeking the will of God, or I'm seeking the will of Baal, or whatever God there is. You better pay me if you want something. Like, you want a prophecy? I want money. Right? And Balak sees the Israelites as they're coming out of Egypt, and he sees them getting close, and there's a lot of them, and it kind of like how the Egyptians and Pharaoh said, wow, we gotta enslave them because there's too many of them. Balak's like, they're gonna overwhelm them, so Balaam, I need you to curse them, because they're gonna just take over the land. I need you to curse them. That's Balak's thing. And then Balaam initially refuses to go, right? And then God tells him, go, right? But only say what I tell you to say. And then there's this wonderful story that almost feels like it's a cartoon, right? Where Balaam is on his donkey, and the donkey sees the angel of God, and Balaam doesn't. And he gets really mad because his donkey, the angel of God is holding a sword, and the donkey keeps trying to avoid the angel. And, like, he keeps beating the donkey. And then God lets the donkey be able to talk, right? And says, why are you beating me? Don't you think I've done something? Like, I've never done this before. Why do you think I'm doing this? Like, and then all of a sudden God opens his eyes to show Balaam the angel of the Lord, right? That's right there, about there to ready to kill him. And we're not getting into that story today. We're getting into the after. But it is important to know this. And I've always found that story, a lot. It feels like a cartoon, right? Like you're riding a donkey, the donkey sits down, goes off the road, right? There's an angel that only the donkey sees. And even in ancient Mesopotamia, animals acting weird was a sign of like spirits or supernatural. They were like, oh, the animals must be, because you know how some people are like, oh, well, dogs can see ghosts, so cats know when there's something there. There is still that general perception, right? Like,
animals
can
speak. You don't
need to
know why.
Yeah, when an animal acts weird, right? Usually there's a reason. That was kind of, and they usually attributed it to supernatural reasons. And so one of these things is showing that Balaam is blind. Like, God is going to use Balaam, right? But he is spiritually blind. Like, the point of this story, in a nutshell, from the commentary I read, was talking about how, like, even a donkey has more spiritual awareness than you do. Right? Like, and also, it's a warning to Balaam, right? You do what I say or you will die. Right? There is very much a, like, you must do what the Lord says. I don't care what money you're going to get or whatever. And Balaam does say that. He says, you know, I have to say what the Lord says no matter what. Because it's a really interesting, this part of the story is important because Balaam seems like a good guy through most of this story, but throughout the rest of Scripture, everyone kind of says, no, Balaam, you're bad. Like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you charge money and you're basically, like, lying to people and da-da-da-da-da. And so this little interlude about the donkey and the angel is all about how Balaam is spiritually blind and he really doesn't know what he's talking about, right? But God does still use him because God can use anybody, right? And last thing I want to say before we get into this is, cursing, right? Well, people believe during this time period, that, you know, if you bless someone, they were blessed. And if you curse them, they were cursed, right? Today, nowadays, we say God bless you if someone sneezes and we do it more out of a reflex. We don't really necessarily, at least I don't, think, oh, God's really going to bless that person today. They're going to have a great day, right? But they really did believe these things. That's why the blessing that Isaac gives Jacob and Esau matters so much, right? You already gave the blessing because you can't give it twice, right? So so Balaam totally believes that Balaam has the power to curse these people for him, okay? All right, now we're getting into the story, and it's kind of a lot of scripture, but it was really hard. This whole story is three whole chapters of scripture. I've taken basically like half of it, I guess, to really dive into. So what I would like to do is we're just going to read, I think, like five verses each and just go around. I know my mom doesn't have her reading glasses, so she's not going to read. So we'll skip her.
No, just for distance. I can read it up
there. So we'll start with Anna, and if we'll just kind of go around and everyone reads.
We're going to skip me, though.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll read five verses, so go ahead, Anna.
Balaam said, "Build me seven altars here and prepare seven bulls and seven rams for me." Balak did as Balaam said, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar.
Okay, important thing right here. So seven is a holy number, right? And it's a holy number throughout Israel. Creation was said to take 7 days. Their feast days, the seventh month had the most feast days, like seven, you know, the Sabbath on the seventh. And bulls and rams are the cream of the crop, okay? These are not like, you know, oh, I've got an extra 50 cents, let me throw it in an offering plate. This is like, I just won the lottery and I'm giving 100% to God, not to any of me. Like this is the bulls and rams in the Levitical law. The priests don't even get a portion of them. The whole thing is burned for as an offering to a God, which is a really big thing, right? Because that's how you propagate, right? You need a bull or a ram, right, to make more sheep and more cows, right?
You only really need one of them.
Well, you only need one, but that's the whole thing. Like, you have to give up the, you might only have one or whatnot, but it's this sacrifice that you're making. And so that is the worship. So this is not some, like, you know, piddly offerings. Balaam and Balak are going all out and giving a worship. Well, we'll call it a worship. It's really more of a bargaining offering. All right, go ahead.
Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your offering while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you." Then he went off to a barren height. God met with him, and Balaam said, "I have prepared seven altars, and on each altar I have offered a bull and a ram." The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Go back to Balak and give him this word." Oh, that's me.
So he went back to him and found him standing beside his offering with all the Moabite officials. Then Balaam spoke his message. "Balak brought me from Aram, the king of Moab, from the eastern mountains. Come," he said, "curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks I see them, from the heights I view them. I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number even a fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous."
And may my final end be right there, so you're fine. Before we go to the next part, though, right? So we have definitely seen some of the God is still speaking that same prophecy he promised Abraham, right? Who can count the dust of Jacob or number even a fourth of Israel? That's that promise that your descendants will be like the, you know, as numerous as the sand, as numerous as the sky, the stars in the sky. And I see a people who live apart and do not consider them one of the nations. That was the whole point of Israel. The whole point of Israel was, we're going to live so that people will know who God is, right? That was the whole point of why God chose anybody, right? He's like, somebody needs to show everybody else what it means to worship me. And Israel, right, that was their goal. And so that's what Balaam is seeing. Not that Israel lives up to that, but he's seeing that prophecy still going. Anyway, go ahead and continue with Sinai 11.
Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing to bless them, nothing but bless them." He answered, "Must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" Then Balak said to him, "Come with me to another place where you can see them. You will not see where you can see them, okay? You will not see them all, but only the outskirts of the camp. And from there, curse them for me." So he took him to the field of Zophim on the top of Pisgah. And there he built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offering while I meet with him over there.
The Lord met with Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak and give him this word. So he went to him and found him standing beside his offering with the Moabite's official. Balak asked him, what did the Lord say? Then he spoke this message. Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and cannot change it.
No misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no divination against Jacob, no evil omens against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rouse themselves like a lion, but does not rest till it devours its prey and drinks the blood of its victims. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all.
Real quick. So, right, we have, okay. So, you just blessed them, and this is really not what I wanted. And I told you to curse them, right? And he's like, well, I just have to do it. And he's like, okay, well, let's go appease this god then, right? Like, we have to do it. Let's do another offering. We gave one offering, right? But we didn't get the answer we wanted. So we're going to go give another offering, and you're going to give me, like, you know, we're going to try this again. You know, it's the same thing. It's kind of like they're like, okay, God, you told me no before, but maybe if I sweeten the deal a little bit, right? Here's some extra offering for you, right? Look how serious I am about this. And then, of course, it comes out and it's like, and he flat out tells him, God is not going to change his mind. Israel will be blessed. And, well, Balak is like, well, then don't bless them or curse them. You're causing me more problems. And then let's see what Balak does. Go ahead.
Just want to say, may some of Israel's blessings never catch me.
Yeah.
All right. Balaam answered, did I not tell you I must do whatever the Lord says? Then Balak said to Balaam, come, let me take you to another place. Perhaps it'll please God to let you curse them for me from there. And Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Balaam said, build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me. Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar.
Okay, right? And I love that because he literally was just told, God's not going to change his mind. And then he's like, okay, don't do it at all. And then he's desperate, right? He's like, you know what? Let's try again. Right? Well, clearly we weren't at the right mountain peak. You didn't get the right oil. You didn't have the right offering. Those rams, they weren't good enough, right? So there's this whole, like, we're going to try it again. Right? One more time. This is, you know, the person who's, like, desperate on their knees, like, God, like, I know you said a marriage covenant is forever, but, like, I really like him. So, like, if they would divorce, you know, like, it's that kind of thing.
That would be great.
Yeah, right? Like, and it's, like, they're begging for that, and God's like, I'm not going to violate my will. Like, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, oh, but what, maybe I need to pray harder. What if I gave church $1,000? Would you do it then? Right? This is Balak's mentality. Right? Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to divination as at other times. And remember, divination is a sin, right? And the Old Testament talks about don't do divination. So that's how Balaam is speaking about. This is why we know God. Balaam's not like a prophet, really. He's not like sitting there and like, oh, I'm going to hear what God says and then like tell people. He's like, oh, this God is really scary. Well, I'm doing, like, these things I shouldn't be. He showed up and said, you need to say this, and I'm going to just listen to that because, like, whoa, that guy's terrifying. Right? All right. Turn his face toward the wilderness. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him. This is the first time we have this, where the Spirit of God comes on him, right? I'm going to give you a real prophecy. Here we go. And he spoke his message. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor. The prophecy of one whose eyes see clearly. The prophecy of the one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. So he's like, finally is getting it. Balaam, at least, is finally getting it, right? There are no more offerings after this. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling places, Israel. Like valleys, they spread out like gardens beside a river. Like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Waters will flow from their buckets. Their seed will have abundant water. The king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. They have a strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations and break their bones in pieces. With their arrows, they pierce them. Like a lion, they crouch and lie down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse them? May those who bless you be blessed and those who curse you be cursed. And again, we're having back to that Abrahamic blessing, right? Kind of thing. And like, this is, now we got like a really good blessing, right? Like you know, like, there, nothing's going to stop them, right? Because God is with them. Don't you get it? Like, the Lord is literally with them. There's nothing we can do, right? I can't curse them. It's literally impossible for me to do that. There's no good that's going to come from this. Now, Balak, right, is very angry at this point, right? He's like, I get three times, right? Three times I pleaded with you to do this, and I promised to give you all the money, right? And I gave, you know, the best rams and the best bulls that I had. Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Right? And I love that because it's like, reminds me all the way back to Genesis when it's like, it's God's fault, right? God gave me the woman. It was all God's fault. The reason you don't get any money is God's fault. I want you to know that, right? There's never this repentance, this, hey, maybe I could join Israel, right? Like, maybe I could follow this God who's got, like, all this power and who you fear so much. There's none of that humility. It's just God. I want you to know that that God that you keep blessing people with, right, he's the reason that you're going to go home broke, okay? But I want you to know that, right? And Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell the messengers you sent me, even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything on my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in days to come. And I cut it off here because I had to cut it off somewhere. But it's in, like, basically there's this prophecy, right? Like, you're going to be destroyed by them and other people will be. And there's both in one of my favorite parts at the end. There's the Davidic prophecy, right, where it says a scepter is going to come out of the nations, which is a kingly line, right, and that's going to rule. So it has the earthly fulfillment in David and what people like the fuller fulfillment in Jesus. And so this Moabite prophet who, you know, doesn't really like have a relationship with God, all of us, you know, gets it because the Spirit of God comes upon him. This is, you know, at the end, the Spirit of God comes upon him. And he is even prophesying about Jesus, which is such a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And I will tell you, if you have time, highly recommend just reading Numbers 22 through 24, the whole thing this week. Because it's just, it's a great story, but it is long. But yeah. And so let's talk about Balak. Here's our king of the Moabites. Let's talk about what Balak does. So first off, he does not care about God or God's will. He is up there saying, this is what I want. These people are a threat, and I want God to curse them so that I will be safe and my kingdom will be good, right? He only cares about himself, right? That is his goal here, right? Like, I need me and mine taken care of. And lastly, he tries to buy God's favor. So I say it's not really worship, right? He's just like, it's not worship if you give to someone or if you give to God with the expectation of something to come back, right? That's not worship. Right? Like, I'm going to give you this $50, God, and I know tomorrow I'm going to get a new car. Right? Like, that's what he's doing right there, right? He's trying to buy God's favor. If I do this, you know, some of us do it with service, right? If I serve God enough, right, he'll give me what I really want. And that's not how God works. So the Balak is such a great example of when we are not looking for God, right? and we're just focused on what we want. When there's like, man, like, I really like that boy or girl and I really want to be with them, right? Or that, oh, I want that house. Or I want that job. I want to make $1 million a year, God. Like, that's what I want. And I'm really not going to settle for anything less, right? Those, like, and then God's like, I said no. I said no 3 times. Like, it's like, Bollock's not willing to change his will or his mind. And that's where, are we willing to change our mind? Are we willing to change our, to let God shape us so that we are who he wants us to be, right? And that we are submissive to his will. And then we have Balaam. So we have 3 characters here. Balaam, he's the Moabite prophet who charges for divination, right? He's like, I need money. I like money. Money's a good thing.
He's one of those tarot people.
Yeah. And then he's also, God spoke to him, used him, but he's still spiritually blind, right? We talked about how his donkey can see more spiritually than he can. And then, not until the Spirit of God comes on him. And then Balaam cares more about his life than Balak's desire. So Balaam's still pretty selfish here, because he's like, look, I saw the angel of the Lord, it had a sword, and it was going to kill me. All you did was promise me gold and silver, and that's great and all, but that angel's going to kill me, and I can't spend gold and silver if I'm dead. Right? Like, so Balaam is very much, like, I see the options here, and I'm choosing life. Right? And so Balaam isn't great. But then we have Yahweh.
Hold on.
Sorry, go back. Yeah. So yeah, Balaam's not great. Now the final character, which we'll talk about in just a minute, is Yahweh, right? And remember, Yahweh, God, Jesus, they're the central figures of the Bible. That's who, they're the protagonist of the Bible. Because it's all about that. And because Yahweh's got a voice here, right? And he's trying to tell them no, right? And wow, is he not listening? All right, go ahead. So Yahweh cannot be bought, right? Cannot be bought by Balaam, cannot be bought by Balak, doesn't matter what. Like, he cannot be bought. He doesn't change his mind, right? He's not like, you know what, Kelly, I chose you for a purpose, but you're really just messing this purpose up. So, like, I'm choosing somebody else. No, he never says, Israelites, you suck. I'm going to go choose somebody else, right? The Israelites screw up time and time and time again, and they get disciplined, they get punished, but God never says, I'm going to try somebody else, right? Because all of us are like that. We're all Israelites. We all have that hardness of heart without God's love and God's glory, right?
So God is big into the sunk cost fallacy?
No, I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say God wants you to change.
We're thinking beyond human terms.
Yes, yes.
Beyond the art of debate.
And he's not going to capitulate to the person who has the best offering. All right, he's not just going to be like, oh, well, you know, they gave me 7 cars, and those are, you know, Ferraris. And what did you bring me? You brought me, what, 7 Lincolns? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's not how God operates. It's not a quid pro quo, right? He wants our heart. Right? And that's what Balaam and Balak don't get, right? God's like, I don't want your rams. I want you to be with me, right? I'm with those people. You could come join them, right? And Balak's like, no, I'm going to kill them. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you're not. Like, you. And in fact, if you continue down this path, you're the one who's going to die, right? And he promises to Abraham and his descendants, right? That stands. I'm going to bless those who bless you. That doesn't go away, right? That's not going to go away. And I think that's so important for us to remember sometimes, because sometimes, right, we get discouraged. God, does what I'm doing matter? Right? Am I supposed to be doing this? Or God, this is really hard, right? And you know my heart's desire, and this isn't what I want out of my life. I want this. Right? I want this. And God's like, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you good things, but they're going to be my good things, not your good things. And so that's why this is so important, because, I mean, imagine if God could be bought, right? Then it would just be like, well, you know, Tracy, I know I promised you, you know, a good life, right? But Jenna brought me a little bit more yesterday, and I'm just going to let Jenna have that instead, right? Like, and the beautiful thing is, it's like God doesn't run out of resources, so he can bless everyone. Mm-hmm. But like, he can't, but like, we need to take encouragement. Not only, like, you can't change God's mind. You're not going to change God's mind. He's not going to be like, you know what? I said that was, you know, I said that stealing was a sin, but, like, all right, Winston, you brought me, like, 8 Ferraris, and then, like, you know, you only stole a little. Like, that's okay. Right? Like, that's not how God works. So we can't buy God either, but sometimes we do. So have you ever tried to, quote, unquote, buy God or kept asking for him to change his mind? I see a very big nod from Kelly. I know I have. I was like, come on. I mean, I don't know that I tried to buy him, but I did keep asking for him to change the mind. Like, you know, I really want this. I was like, no. Like, okay, let me ask again. But that feeling, right? Like, when we want something, and we reveal something about us because in our hearts we want something more than we want God. When we try to buy God, that's what reveals to us. That we want something more than we want God. And God says, I want you to want me. And that's what Balak and Balaam never got. Go ahead and click. So God's promises cannot be changed by our actions or the actions of others. That's a big deal, in my opinion. Right? Like, that's good news. But, yes, I can't change God's will, so I can't, like, you know, take, you know, like, I want this and not that, right? But somebody else can't, you know, go to God and be like, God, I got better stuff. Right? Like, God's promises aren't going to be changed like that. And so I want, as we come into this new year, right? And this is kind of like, where do you need to remember God's promises? Especially in areas where they seem slow to pass. Because, like, I know, I'm going to let people talk in 1 second, but I know, like, sometimes it feels like, God, you're not doing anything. Right? I know you promised this, but it's not, I'm not seeing the momentum, or I'm not seeing these things that my heart desire, or I'm not seeing your goodness. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay, so just 1 or 2 slides back, you talked about asking for the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I could have worked a bad thing. Now you're talking about asking for the same thing and God, you know, it being slow. So, you know,
well, okay.
Where is the difference? How do we know the difference between a no and a not yet?
Well, there's a, one, I'm talking about God's promises here. So the promises of Israel can't be broken, right? So God's not going to go against his word. That's what I'm talking about here. You cannot ask God to curse those he's promised to bless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to change. You cannot ask God, and a lot of these are just, like, blatant sins, some of the things I already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot ask God, you know what? I really have a crush on that person, so, you know, I'll just wait until their spouse dies, right? And then I can be with them. Right, that's kind of what I'm talking about, that those sins of trying to get God to change his mind, right, versus God's already promised this to you, like Israel, like I've promised that I'm going to bless you, and Israel, and, you know, Abraham waited 25 years. So it's whether or not it's a promise from God or not.
So there are many things, you know, when we talk about things in our own individual life that we might pray for, there are many things that are not promised, but also not denied by God.
Mm-hmm.
Different things, you know?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a promotion at work or relationship or that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it takes discernment. There's not, I can't give you a, you know, if you ask 3 times, God said no, right? Because there's also, as I was doing this, I was thinking about the parable of the persistent widow.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like, she kept coming. So I can't give you a strong and hard answer like, okay, well, you asked 5 times and God said no 5 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes through discernment. And sometimes, right, we can be slow on the uptake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know when I was first getting my very first job out of college, I really wanted to stay in San Antonio. That's all I wanted. I had a great friend group there. I had a good church. I had a great Bible study. And I was like, I love it here. I love the culture. And everybody I knew was getting jobs in Houston because Houston is the most cosmopolitan. It also just needs teachers like crazy. I had been to Houston once, and it reminded me of L.A., and I do not like L.A., and so I was like, I'm not going to Houston. I don't like Houston. You can't make me. Well, I've been there once, and it was only for, like, 2 or 3 days, but nope, not doing it, right? Like, and I would have great interviews, like, and I mean phenomenal interviews, where it was like, I'm going to, you know, we'll probably get back to you tomorrow, right? And, like, and then something would come up, whether it was red tape or some other little thing, and I was just like, I can't get a job, right? And I was like, and it took me several times of being, like, not getting the job. And also, you know, the school year starts in August, and we're in late, you know, mid to late July. Currently, I'm the only person in my cohort, because my program had a 100% placement rate for teachers, right? So I'm the only person left who doesn't have a job, right? And that they're not happy about that either, because they, for them, this is like, you know, we got 100%. Like, you cannot not have a job. Right?
Like, now it's
99%. Yeah, right? And so I don't...
Our statistics.
Yeah, and I'm like, and finally, at the same time, God had just brought me through a lot, so I wasn't worried. I was like, I'll have a job. It'll be okay. It was a very interesting place to be in. And then it took me so long, and I was just like, wait, do you not want me to stay in San Antonio? Like, it was this small, like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh. You know, and so, because God kept closing the doors, and he kept closing the doors. And so, like, there are times that God does. He's like, you're not staying. Like, you are not staying. And if I hadn't been, like, that confident in God's goodness and knowing that he would provide me with a job, right, I would have kept trying to stay, and God, I wouldn't have had a job, right? And then, of course, because I really didn't want to go to Houston, I applied to a school in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys know she never told her mother that.
Yeah, so
I never knew that.
I applied for a missionary school in Bangladesh.
It's giving Noah.
Yeah, right? Like, I was like, I don't want to go to Houston. I'm going to apply in Bangladesh. I got an interview set up for the school in Bangladesh, and they were like, look, we had someone who's pretty interested, but, you know, if God's going to open the door, we're happy to interview you. Like, we always want to listen to what God has to say. And then, like, Houston kind of sent out another email, and they're like, we're desperate for teachers. Like, please send it in. And they were, and my school was like, you need to send it in because we need you to have a job, right? Like, yeah. So I sent in my resume.
They had directions.
Yeah. So I sent in my resume, and I was like, fine, I'll apply to Houston. I wasn't happy about it. Like, all right. And then, within 24 hours, I had a job. I kid you not. I applied to Houston with 24 hours, got to open the door. I had an interview. And they were like, okay, great. I'm going to see if our principal, because I was doing high school, right? So I interviewed with an instructional person, because, you know, there's a lot of different people at high schools. And they're like, I'm going to see if our principal can get together, and we're going to hire you, right? And I was like, okay. And so then he calls me back within 5 minutes and says, the principal said that if I'm good with it, I can make the offer. Again, they're also want to get staffed, because they're at the end of the year, right? Like, they're also desperate, right? And it was not a great school, I will say that. But I will tell you.
That's why they were desperate.
Yeah, right? They were desperate. Like, and I, like, accepted the job, and I remember I called Julia, my college roommate, who had already moved back. She's from Houston, already moved to Houston.
Julia.
Yeah, Julia's great. I called her up, and I said, hey, and I got her voicemail, and I was just like, I think I'm moving to Houston. Can I come stay with you while I look at apartments? And I was just, and she'll tell you, she was laughing so hard because she was like, you sounded so unsure and confused on that voicemail. Because I was, because I was like, I'm not going to Houston. I'm going to go to Bangladesh. Like, I'm not going to Houston. I actually have an ornament on my tree from 10,000 Villages. So I get one ornament every year that means something to me about the year. And the reason I have, it's a red star. And the reason I have it was because it was made in Bangladesh. So I got it that year as this reminder, right? Like, sometimes you just have to go to Houston. And so, and I will say, Houston was such a boom because, like, Houston, everybody gets jobs in Houston, right? It's kind of, you know, like, it's just a place
really?
In Texas where there's a lot of jobs. Yeah, it's Houston is the most cosmopolitan city of Texas. It's the most diverse. And
that's not saying a lot for Texas, though.
But it's, it just, you know, but it's, Houston is very diverse. It's very similar to, like, that LA, New York, Chicago, like, big city options. You can do different things. So all of my friends, kid you not, my college roommate was there. My best friend in the whole wide world from college got a job there. I had another friend and another friend, and, like, still some of my core people who I still, like, go to when things are really rough are all in Houston. It makes it really great when I go visit because it's, like, they're all right there. But the point being, like, God brought my, like, a lot of my community to with me. Like, he did all these good things, but I was still so, like, and Houston was also 2 years of some really good healing for me as well. Like, God, I got into with a therapist there. I just, you know, pursued healing in a lot of ways that I wouldn't have had. And so all that is to say, Luke, as you ask that question, right?
Yeah.
It's are we willing to go with God's will rather than our own? Because my will was, I'm staying in San Antonio. I like it here. I know it here. It's safe. And I have a friend group here. Right? And I love San Antonio. The food's good. The culture's good. There's not really a lot of traffic. And Houston has my least favorite thing in the world, which is traffic. I hate traffic. Like, there are people who hate traffic. I hate traffic. Like, I will do just about anything to avoid traffic. Show up 3 hours early? Sure. Like, I hate traffic. I know no one likes it, but God, I hate it. And Houston had just traffic, and Houston is, actually, God took me to two cities that have some are in the top 10 worst traffics, Houston and Boston.
Right, I mean, here, which isn't that much better.
Actually, I think Glen Burnie's great. Like, if you're going...
Glen Burnie?
Yes.
Washington.
If you go to Washington, or if you go to Baltimore, yeah. But if you stay right here, it's fine. Okay, so all of that is to say, Laura, but if I had stopped seeking God, right? If I had stopped resting in God, because I was very sure, I was... Like, throughout all of this, even though I have an anxiety disorder, I didn't have any anxiousness. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, I need to find a job. But I was like, God's got me. Right? And I knew that confidence. And that's what allowed me to, like, look at that. And sometimes, like, God keeps closing a door. And at some point, we have to ask him, God. Like, so there's not a, yep, here you go, Luke. Here's your answer. The answer usually is, are you seeking God? And he will kind of reveal to you over time. And it didn't go quickly because I was very, like, I mean, people had started getting jobs in, like, March in Houston. And I was like, nope, not doing that. And so my point being here, right, so the story of Balak and Balaam is all about, like, when do we want something more than we want God? Like, if your picture of heaven doesn't have God, you're not envisioning heaven, right? Like... you're just imagining a resort. But the other part about this is that, like, the Israelites, you know, that blessing, that promise that it's coming. So it's a both and. So yeah, there's not a clear cut answer for you. Sorry, Luke.
Okay. No, I mean,
is this my sign to look at jobs out of state?
I don't know, Jenna. You have to ask God, not me.
he's very responsive right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's just the slow part.
Yeah.
Remember
so
God's
part.
Promises,
yeah.
Especially when they seem
it's
slow to pass.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But he did tell me. I was talking to Luke the other day.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Oh, he messaged me in the group chat, and I've been thinking about leaving my current job since October 18th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the point where I'm like, I don't care if I let go.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, God asked us to submit to his will, not to our will, right? Not to, God, right, this is what's going to be best for me. I know it. God's like, you don't know anything. I have good things for you. And we have to be in communication and relationship with God. Because we can't know what God wants if we don't spend time with God, right? That would be like me coming up to somebody on the street and be like, I know what you want, right? Like, you want this pet tiger. I knew it. And they'd be like, what? I don't want it. No. That's not what I want at all. And that's kind of how, like, the offerings are. God's like, I want your heart. I want you to follow me. I want to love you. And we're like, how about a ram instead? Yeah. So he wants us to submit to his will and click for me and be changed, right? That's the whole point is, as you know, we talk about new year and new you. You've already been made new in Christ, right? God wants to keep changing you. He doesn't change. He's like, I've got my goodness. It's all here. And it's all for you. So you need to be changed so you can live with me. Just like the Israelites have all those laws in Leviticus so that they can be with him. Right? God's like, I'm not going to live in this. Right? It's like you don't have a house guest come over and be like, oh yeah, we had a sewage problem 3 days ago and we just haven't cleaned it up. So you'll just, try not to step in the water. Like, it's not good. Right? You don't do that with guests, right? And God's like, your guests are like, I'm not staying here. And that's how God is. Like, I'm not going to stay where it's against my holiness. I can't stay there.
Boundaries.
Yeah. God does have boundaries, and that's a good thing, right? Boundaries are good, and even for God, they're good, right? Because he's like, I'm not going to start calling something sin, or I'm not going to call something, you know, good just because you want me to, right? It's still, And those are important. But as we are changed, we find that our desires start to match his. Right? We find that what we want out of life, mm-hmm. right, changes. All of a sudden, we don't want the most money. Right? We want more joy and more love. Or, you know, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't need to have the significant other or the best behaved kids or whatever it is that we have defined success for so long because that we have God, right? And God's like, and through that, the beautiful thing about God is it's not just God. Like, God enough is good, but you also get community and joy and fellowship and so much more. But our desires have to match his. And to conclude it all up today, go ahead and click. So the question is, what is God asking from you in the new year? Hold on. This is a reflective moment.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not a...
Sharing.
No. And the other question is, will you do it?
Maybe.
Because, like, sometimes we're like, oh, like, I know, right? I need to spend less time doing this and more time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or I need, you know, or... I need to stop accepting this thing that's sin and, you know, just acting like, oh, that's fine. You know, like, everybody does it. I mean, everybody lies. What does it matter?
Everybody cheats.
Yeah, that's another one that people do and or say. Sorry, I don't mean do, but, like, say, right? And so, like, will you do it? It's a bigger question. And the good news is you don't have to do it alone, right? You have God and you have your church. You know, like, I really feel like this year I need to be on my phone less, right? And it's like, I don't want to say that, right? Because I'm like, I don't really want people to be accountable. I don't want people to tell me. Like, I'm just like, but no, like, but
yeah.
At the same time, it's like, am I going to do it or not, right? Like, so those are that's the questions. So we're going to take communion and, I just want you, as we take this, to really reflect on what is God calling you to this year? What is he asking of you? And what is your heart's response? Because it's not necessarily easy.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. So this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. Then he took the cup and drank it. So this is my blood, shed for you. Take and drink. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your love and your sacrifice, Lord. Lord, we know that nothing we sacrifice is as much as you sacrificed for us. So, Lord, let us bring ourselves as an offering, Lord. Let us not try to manipulate you into giving us what we want in the new year, Lord. But let us submit to your will, to rely on your promises, Father God. And to trust in you. And let us be changed to be more and more like your son. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.